All right, so Mark, chapter 10. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 42. It says, "But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word once again. We pray you would help us to understand your truth this morning. Help us to apply it. Help us to fulfill your will in our lives and be a testimony to you to others by our words and actions. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we've been considering the ramifications of the words Jesus spoke just shortly after his resurrection, where he said, "As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And as believers, it's necessary that we realize that the Christian life isn't just us getting saved, and then we just kind of coast through the rest of our lives until Jesus takes us home. We want to realize that there is a calling on our lives. There is a mission that is given to us by Jesus himself that we're bound to fulfill. Each of us are sent by Jesus, and we are to operate in the same spirit in which he operated, essentially allowing him to live his life out through us. And so we've already considered several aspects of the spirit in which Christ was sent and which we are to operate. Like him, we are sent not to destroy people's lives, not to condemn, not to judge, but to save, to see them be rescued by the power of God and translated from the power of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. We want to see people whose lives are destroyed by sin, to have them redeemed and reclaimed by God. Like him, we are sent not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Those that know that they're sinners, that lives are messed up, but they are honest enough to admit that, because those are the ones that are going to be willing to hear the gospel. They're going to see their need, and all of us are sinners. All of us are in need of a Savior, but many that are self-righteous, they don't want to admit that and continue to deceive themselves, and so we're not focused on them. We're focused on the lost, on sinners. Last week we considered the thought of we're sent to seek. It's not likely that a lot of lost people necessarily going to come to us. They don't necessarily know the way. They maybe can't get there on their own, and so it's up to us to go and seek them in the highways and byways of life, and to try to find them and encourage them that that Jesus wants them, that he can help them, that they can have hope and forgiveness and purpose through him. But this morning we want to consider another aspect, and that's the idea that just like Jesus, we are sent to serve. Now Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as inspired by God, each wrote their respective gospels representing Christ from different perspectives. And it's interesting when you think about it that a lot of times there's different animals even that are represented. We think of Luke, of course. He was a physician, and there's many that were trying to claim that Jesus was not actually a man, that he was just this spirit that people saw, and so his focus was that he would teach people that Jesus was a man. He spoke about his humanity. And so really the picture that could represent Luke's gospel would be a man. We think of John, of how there are a lot of people that were trying to say, well, Jesus was just a man, he wasn't God. And so John, he was laying out that, no, he was the Son of God. And if you believe him, you'll have life through his name. And the animal that would represent John's gospel would be the eagle, kind of speaking of this creature, that this spirit that would come down from heaven, that this was God come down to earth. Matthew, the first gospel, represents Jesus as the king. And in so many ways, the animal that would represent Matthew's gospel would be a lion. But we understand with Mark's gospel, that with Mark, that the animal that represents his gospel is that of an ox. And really we see him presenting Jesus as the suffering servant. And we actually, if we were to take any verse that would really encapsulate the entire gospel of Mark, it would be Mark 10 and verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And we see that in this passage that Jesus was explaining a very important principle to his disciples. That they actually were arguing a bit about who was the greatest, that James and John were kind of trying to maybe promote themselves a bit and getting the others upset. And so Jesus kind of was hearing some of this, recognizing what was going on, and he said, okay, I need to share with you guys something important. And we really want to understand that we need it just as much as his disciples did back then, that this is an important truth. And so he begins with them saying, ye know that they which are accounted rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. That he said that you know what the mindset is of the nations of this world and how really society as a whole works. They would be aware of that just with Rome and how it imposed its will upon them as a nation, and so many other different ways they would understand this. And we would understand that the mindset of the world then is the same as it is today. Because really, everyone is always looking to exalt and promote themselves and to get up to a point of position and status where they can boss other people around and have others serve them. And really, we would look at it. Any chance that we get to exalt ourselves over others, we take it. If we don't have to do the work, if we can have someone else do the work, we feel that we've arrived, that we have become really successful by being able to have other people work for us instead of us having to do everything ourselves or us having to work for someone else. And so in this area, as in many other areas, Jesus makes it clear that as his disciples, we are not to be conformed to the thinking of this world. And in many ways, we're to do exactly the opposite. He says, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. and it's interesting that minister, that it has the idea of one who, like we use it in different ways, we think of, it's actually interesting because we have, in our government, we have the prime minister and we have the various cabinet ministers. Well, when you actually understand the history and the wording of it, it was the ideas that they worked for the monarch. That was their idea, that they weren't the ones that were in charge calling the shots. That instead, it was this idea they were servants of the king or the queen at the time. And so it's interesting to think of it in that way. And I think that really. That is lost with many today, you would probably say, just naturally, because it's been with the passage of time. But it's kind of the thing is, as well, we understand that because people are now elected rather than appointed by a monarch, that they are to be really servants of the people that elected them. But that often And just from by human nature, it is something that's forgotten. But it's the idea of a minister, that it's someone who is there to meet the needs of someone else. It could also, a way we could describe it would be someone who is a waiter, where, and we've all seen that, where there's, we go to a fancy restaurant, and there's someone that comes to our table, takes our order, and tries to get it to us as soon as possible, and if they want to make sure that we're happy and satisfied, and we have everything that we need to make ourselves comfortable. And so that's what he says to us. If we're going to be great, if we're going to be exalted, if really we're going to be chief, we're going to be a leader, we have to learn to be a minister to others, to be a servant to other people. Where we're helping them, we're finding what their needs are, and we're seeking to meet those needs. And we understand that's really, in God's economy, that's how we become qualified for leadership, if we show ourselves to be servants to others. And you think of this wouldn't necessarily be what Jesus' disciples at that time would have wanted to hear, because almost they would say, okay, well, Jesus, which one of us is like the greatest, which one of us is in charge, or whatever, and he says, you're missing the whole point. And as well, this is maybe not something we want to hear either, but we want to understand that Jesus was not telling his disciples to do something he was not willing to do himself. Instead, we see that Jesus himself set the example, both for them and for us. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And that's what we see when we really study Jesus' life. That's what he was. He was a servant to so many different people. And really, we think of it, Jesus was the rightful King of the Jews, and as well, Jesus was God himself. And so if anyone was in a position of nobility and status and position, it would be him. That if anyone, he could have demanded to be treated by royalty. He could have demanded that different people serve him. He could have insisted that they meet his every want. He could have said, well, I should live in the palace. I should have need for nothing. I should have everyone bow down and serve me. And we would say, if anyone, yes, he would have the right to claim that. But yet through his life, we don't ever see that happen, that he doesn't make demands of other people. Instead, we find him spending his life ministering to the needs of others. That we think of it, of how he would fill his days with healing people, with helping people, with trying to teach them different things. We read in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 40, it says, now when the sun was setting, so this is getting to be evening, in that place, it would probably be around 6 o'clock or so. It says, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. That's the thing, that it's the end of the day, it's time to go to bed, but all these people are coming wanting to be healed. And he didn't say, okay, I'll do a few, and then the rest of you come tomorrow. We find, he says, he healed everyone. Everyone that came to him with a need, he met that need. We read as well in Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34. It says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. That all these people come, they want to hear him, that in many ways you look at them, these people are just lost. They have no direction. They have no sense of what to do with their lives, no purpose. And so he had compassion, and he started to teach them the truth, something that they never probably heard before. And they're listening to him. They know he has what they need. and he just, they had a need. He was meeting their need. But we see that... It says, now when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. And he said, send them away, that they may go in the country round about in the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And they're just saying, okay, we're done. It's been a long day, and these people just need to go home. And he says, no. We see verse 37. He says, give ye them to eat. And they're like, how are we going to do that? We don't have anything to give them. But what we find, that he says, go look what you have. And they found 5 loaves, 2 fishes. And he said, go tell them to sit down. And he prays. And then miraculously, his Heavenly Father, as he asked for the need to be met, that it is met abundantly. And we find him performing the miraculous to ensure that all these people that had come to him, that they left with full bellies as well as full souls. That he was ministering to their needs. We consider as well, just before he yielded himself up to be crucified, we find the example he gave to his disciples in John chapter 13. If you turn there with me. John chapter 13, beginning verse 1, says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world, and the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. And so we think of this, that he is... they've had supper together, and he just does something that doesn't make any sense to them, where he goes and he gets laid aside his nicer clothes, and he comes as a servant to them, and he basically starts washing their feet. And we would think of it nowadays, where this is not a job that any of us would probably jump for. We think of kind of how sweaty and smelly our feet can be, but we think in that day it would have been even worse, because of course they all wore sandals, and they walked everywhere, and it was dusty, and there wasn't a lot of like just kind of sanitation, a lot of animals on the road and different things, and so there would have been a lot that they would have walked through that wouldn't have been that pleasant. And so he's there cleaning their feet off. And we see that the disciples were surprised what he was doing, and some even resisted what he was doing. But he completed his task, and then he explained why he did what he did. He says, verse 12, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said to them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And so we see that. He says, okay, I am your Master and Lord. I am the one that you look to as your leader. I am your Messiah, your King, your teacher. But I am willing to stoop down and do a job that nobody would want to do, to be a blessing to you. And so he's laying that out to us, and we understand that even without understanding the principle of that verse, as the Father sent me, even so send I you, that he's laying down, this is what I want you to do. You do as I have done, that I'm willing to serve you. I want you to serve one another and to be a servant to others. We see... really what Paul declares of him in 2 Timothy, or not 2 Timothy, rather in Philippians chapter 2. He says of Jesus, he says that, this is verse 7 of Philippians 2, he said, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That Christ took upon the form of a servant. Not, he could have come as royalty or something like that, but instead he became a servant. He became like us, and he humbled himself. He was willing to do the low jobs and what would we might look at as being demeaning to be a blessing to others. But we understand, of course, from this passage how this begins. It says that idea of beginning in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if Jesus had a servant's heart, had that focus of ministering to others rather than being ministered to himself, then that's the mindset we need to have as well. And really, as we look in the scriptures, we see this repeated in different places, that we really are called to a life of service. We see Paul's declaration in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19. He says, for though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And how he learned to give up a lot of his rights in order to try to serve others so that they might come to know the Lord as Savior. We see as well, he speaks of in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5, he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And so that's the idea of it, that he looked at himself as servants for others for the sake of Jesus. And in another place, he says that he was willingly to spend and be spent for other people, even when his efforts weren't always appreciated. And so he laid out that example, and he exhorts us to follow that example as well. We see in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, where he says, brethren, you are called unto liberty, but only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. That we are to be servants of Christ and doing his will, and as we do that, we're to be serving one another on his behalf, where we see their need and we're doing what we can with the resources God provides to meet those needs. We think of different other ways that, of course, in time that it speaks of us being kings and priests with the Lord. We're going to reign with him. But right now we understand that he calls us to be laborers for him. And a laborer is not a person that has status. We understand that even today that you have someone that's a tradesman, a journeyman, that they have a certain level of expertise, and it's sort of, you usually don't expect them to do like the kind of the nasty job. That's what you hire a laborer for, because you can hire them cheap, especially it's kind of the thing, if you're doing some rough job like pouring concrete, it's like you just want to supervise the laborers. You don't want to have to do all the tough stuff yourself if you can help it. But we see that God calls us to be laborers for him. He says that the harvest is great, the laborers are few. Pray that more laborers would come into the harvest to take it. And we think as well of how it talks about that we are laborers together with God. And that the idea that he wants us to be working and doing things, and he's working with us. And really, it's kind of that sense. It isn't something where now, well, he did his part, and so now he's going to sit back and have us do all the work. That really, no, he wants to labor with us. And he wants us to be doing that. That we're taking on different jobs. We're ministering. We're serving. We're helping people. And willing to humble ourselves to do so. But we realize that tends to rub us the wrong way. That we would rather be ministered to than to minister to others. We would much rather serve than be served. We would much rather be the one that comes into the restaurant and is waited upon than to have to be the waiter or the waitress. And we would say that most people in our society today do not want to have jobs in the service industry. We can think of it in our own community that most would rather have, say, someone that's Filipino or another foreign worker would fill those positions of working longer hours, working on different jobs that nobody else wants to do. That it's the idea, you only take those jobs if you're just starting out or maybe you're desperate, but as soon as a better opportunity opens up, you take it, right? We're all very much career oriented, and that can happen to be true even of pastors in the ministry, that we don't want to toil in obscurity any longer than we have to. We want to be able to promote ourselves, we want to get noticed, we want to advance our career, we want to rise above things. And for all of us, there are certain jobs we look at as being beneath us, that we would never stoop to do that we don't, fortunately we don't have to wash people's feet anymore, but there's different jobs that we can think of, whether it's like cleaning toilets or having to go out and shovel snow or different things like that. There's like, we much rather would hire someone to do it rather than do it ourselves. And if we have to do it for our own selves, that's one thing, but we're definitely not going to do it for someone else. And it's only if we're forced to do it, and if we do, we expect to be generously compensated and apologized to for being made to stoop that low. And if that doesn't happen, we'd be complaining, right? And we understand that's the way that most of society works nowadays, and we can fall into that. We can be convinced that we're meant for better things. We can convince ourselves even that this is what God wants for us. He wouldn't want to have me stoop down to this level. He wants to bless me and raise me up and do all these different things where I can get notice and notoriety and everything else. But yet, as we maybe start to get trapped in that thinking of this world, we find that Christ's words and his life really confront us, that we're not thinking the right way. That he was God himself. He was the rightful king of his people. He was used to having a multitude of angels at his beck and call in heaven. And he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He left the glories of heaven behind. And he came to this earth in the form of a man and in the form of a servant. He was not any making demands of anyone. He took the lowly place. We find that he spent time with the sick. That he would go to the lepers that were everybody else would stay away from, that he would try to help them. We find that he spent all the day helping people, and a lot of times they didn't thank him or show him appreciation. We think of the 10 lepers that were cleansed, that basically leprosy in those days was a death sentence, and he basically miraculously healed them, saved their life, and 9 of them didn't even come back to thank him. And yet he continued to meet people's needs. He was willing to go out of his way to meet them. We think of different people, like the woman at the well of Samaria was always the thing people went around Samaria rather than through it. But he says, "Nope, I got to go through here and got to meet this lady." We were talking about in Sunday school about the maniac of Gadara, and it's really kind of interesting when you actually read the context, because basically what happened is he was on the seashore of Galilee, and he had all these people that he was ministering to and preaching. But what happened is he sent his disciples, or he went with his disciples in a boat over the Sea of Galilee, and they went through this terrible storm where they all were afraid, and he had to calm the sea. And they get over to this place on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he goes to this one person that's a maniac that everyone else is scared of and doesn't want to have anything to do with. And he goes and he delivers that man from being possessed of all those devils. And he does that, and what happens, of course, the devils go into the swine, and then everybody hears the ruckus and they find out what happened, and they ask Jesus to leave. But Jesus, we understand that he went all that way across and went through a big storm and came all the way back for one person. That he said, "I don't have time for that person. I have lots of other things to do here." But he knew this person needed to be freed. He was being led of the Lord, of his Father, to do so, and he did that. And so we just think of that he was the Messiah, he was the King of Kings, he was the Lord of Lords, but yet we see him in the upper room with his disciples, stooping down, washing his disciples' stinking, dirty feet. And he says to us to do as I have done. And he leaves it to us pretty plain in John chapter 13 and verse 16. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that has sent him." And so it's a thought, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. If he sent me to serve, if he sent me to take the lowly place, and I am, and Jesus is our master, he is our Lord, then we realize he sent us to do that too, to take the lowly place, to do the things that we might find humiliating, but we're doing it to be a blessing and a help to others. And then he says in verse 17, he declares, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." And verse 17 is actually a verse that principle can be applied to so many different things that God commands of us, that if we know what God says, when we do what God says, we're going to be happy. But I think a lot of times we want to take that out of context and not remember what he's connected it to. And it's the idea of serving and ministering and taking the lowly place and be willing to do a job that no one else wants to do. And because we tend to be deceived into thinking that if we are served by others, if we can boss people around, if we have people at our beck and call, that's a sign of success, a sign that we've arrived, and that's when we can be happy. But the fact is when we're in such a situation like that, a lot of times it reinforces our pride, reinforces our selfishness, and if we live our lives with that mindset, it's actually a sure way to be miserable. And I know different times where I've worked for people that have lots of money, and it's like you find that, yeah, they have this, they can hire people to do whatever, but a lot of times they're not happy people. And we find Jesus served people through his whole life, and we never find him miserable or griping or complaining. We find he was willing to serve and give himself. He's willing to put up with all of us. And it speaks of the joy that was set before him, right? That he went through all these things and humbled himself because he knew what it would bring in the end. And really, it's when we put Jesus first, then others and ourselves last, that's what spells joy. And really, that's what we're here for. And as we learn to serve other people with the right heart attitude, the happier we are going to be in life. And so we need to learn to live life in such a way that if someone was to say our name, we could respond by saying, "At your service." That anybody that comes, that we're saying, "I'm willing to help you," and that we mean that we're willing to be able to serve other people. Instead of starting our day focusing on all the things we want to do for ourselves or we want others to do for us, we need to start thinking, what can I do for other people? That what job can I take on that will be a blessing and a help to someone else? And there are plenty of opportunities to serve others. And a lot of times we don't see them. Sometimes we don't want to see them. But we want to realize that we need to start seeing needs and just saying, okay, what do I have? How could I meet this need? And sometimes we see a great need and we say, okay, I see this need. I don't know how to meet this need with the resources I have. And then that leads us to pray and say, Lord, how can this need be met? And when we do that, we learn God often gives us different resources we weren't expecting to do these things for others. And so we are to love our neighbor, and love is an action word. It's not just sort of some theoretical concept that, yeah, we have this warm feeling about someone. When we love, we serve one another, that we minister to people's needs, right? That maybe we have a neighbor that's, we know what the bylaws are for people shoveling their walks and driveways and different things, and we might see, well, they're not doing that, and they're slackers, they're not doing their job. But maybe we want to think, well, why is that not happening? Maybe they're not well, maybe health-wise there's some issues, maybe they're working long shifts and they haven't been able to, they're wiped out. Maybe they're elderly, they could use a hand. that it's just somewhere we might say, wait a minute, yes, they are doing that. Maybe that's an opportunity. Instead of complaining, you say, this is an opportunity, maybe I can maybe help someone. Sometimes there's elderly people that could use a hand. Sometimes there's sick people that could use a visit. There's so many opportunities out there to be a servant if we're looking for them. And sometimes they are jobs that we might think as being demeaning, thinking of being beneath us, but we see that if Jesus could do it, so can we. And we're not to be conformed to this world, we're instead to be conformed to his image. And so being willing to serve others with a good attitude without expecting anything in return, that's so unusual in today's society that for us to do that, it gets people wondering why. We, of course, sometimes what holds us back from serving others is we think, well, I don't want to be a doormat. I don't want people to take advantage of my willingness to serve. And the fact is there might be some that will, but we want to understand that it might be that God might use our service as an open door to share, for us to share Jesus with someone else, where we do something expecting nothing in return for someone and as we can do it with joy, they see that and it doesn't make any sense to them. It starts making them question why. And we can just tell them, well, I'm doing for you what Jesus has done for me in so many different ways. And so Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. And as the Father sent him, even so he sends us. That we are sent not to be served, but to serve. So let us follow his example. Let us find ways where we can help those around us in a practical way. And as we do so, who knows how God might use our service to bring others unto himself. So as we close, let's turn to our last hymn, number 428.